Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, December 30th.
I had to think double about check. That a second.
Yeah, I had to double check. The hell with keeping things in my mind, you know? It's like there's too many things. I can't keep up the date there to take up some space. How you doing, Kelsey?
I'm good.
We have two more days before the new year.
I can't believe it. It's coming
up. The year just flew by, huh?
It did. Yeah. I remember last year at this time. Mm-hmm. It seems like yesterday. It's crazy.
I know.
I'm excited, though. I love a new year. It's kind of like a fresh start. And
yeah. Do you make resolutions usually, or do you find it to be useless?
I don't.
You
really.
Don't?
No.
I know.
I should. I probably either. Should do
no,
that.
But no, but yeah. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to do it right before the new year, you know? Because, I mean, if you're going to make changes, make them whenever.
Right. I try to kind of live a lifestyle.
Right.
You know? But, yeah. Hey, we can all use improvements. So maybe I'll make one this year. I don't
That's
know.
That's true. We can always make improvements.
I'm bad about drinking those sodas. So maybe that'll be a resolution.
I know.
I can never cut them out completely. Coke Zero. I just love it.
Really?
Ooh.
I know. I'm a Diet Coke type of a person, and
God,
I drink
I love
way
it.
Too many.
I know it's terrible for you, but it makes me happy.
Yeah, there you go. You see?
So maybe you just cut it down to like a couple, a few.
Yeah.
Like
you do
weeks.
Enough healthy things. That's
I
fine,
do.
You
know? I know. It's like, let me just have one thing.
Exactly.
So that's my thing.
Awesome. Well, tomorrow we're going to take the day off. It's New Year's Eve. And I figured, you know, people just want to like take the time off. We don't have to get up early or anything.
All right.
So, yeah, so that'll happen then. And then, of course, Friday is New Year's Day. And then we have a long weekend again.
I know.
So there you go. Yeah. So, Bill Cosby's just been charged. Did you know that?
I have been hiding under a rock.
Right. Well, this just happened pretty much in the like
what did they charge him with?
With sexual assault again. This one from 2004.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, I told you my story that I knew a friend of a friend who
No, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, so
Really?
Yeah, this lady friend of a friend. I don't particularly know her, but yeah, she said she was invited over to Bill Cosby's house to go to the movies with he and his wife and her. And luckily she had the foresight to take a guy friend with her.
And you told me that.
Yeah, and she got there and Miss Cosby was nowhere to be found.
Wow.
And Bill was there with, you know, offering her a drink. And,
really?
And yeah.
Wow.
And so she kind of smelled something fishy and left.
Yeah. You see that? I remember that now. Sometimes I have to jog my memory a little bit.
Yeah. So scary stuff. I'm glad that some justice is being served.
Yeah, I know. But this time he's going down, you know, big time. Because nobody's charged him before. You know, it was all like a long time ago.
Right.
But this one is still still kind of fresh, I guess.
So. Right. Yeah,
2004. That's 11 years, so they can still go
It's amazing that they can find evidence from that long ago.
I know. Well, who knows what's going to happen. We'll see. When a person's charged, they're not necessarily guilty, of course, so we'll see what happens. But his prospects don't look very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're not going to waste too much time because we have two awesome guests in the studio. And we have Susan Olson. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And Sheena Metal, also
Hi.
A longtime friend.
Nice to be here.
Yes. And both of these girls have a show. You guys have a show Monday night called Two Chicks Talking Politics.
Yep.
Do you ever get around to politics on that show?
Only when you're our guest.
Yeah.
We behave. We do.
You do sometimes. I know you're outspoken, right? I mean, Susan's definitely opinionated. Sheena doesn't do a lot of political stuff on Facebook, but barely any.
No.
Yeah.
That's a cute title, though.
Yeah.
Catchy.
That was Sheena's idea. Yeah.
Everything must rhyme and be cute.
Yeah. I love it.
Well, it keeps it light, you know.
Yeah.
even though I kind of I have a tendency to go heavy, it's always been meant to be politics for people that aren't really paying attention,
right,
and don't really want to get that involved, and sort of like politics for idiots,
right,
right.
But idiot's guide to politics,
yeah.
And I love Susan's post because I often think the same way, politically and everything. So
we're on the same page.
I'll have to follow her on Facebook.
Yeah. Except she'll get like a million likes because everybody knows her, and I get like 10. So that's the way it is. But so Sheena Metal has several shows here on the station.
I do, four.
And you've been with us for a long time.
Yeah, next week will be 7 years.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
January 5th is my seven-year anniversary for my daily show.
Yeah. And that's the flagship show is the Sheena Metal Experience. Yeah. You can listen to it every day, 5 to 7, on Channel 2 right here on LA Talk Radio. And that's an awesome show. I mean, you have like celebrities, a lot of entertainment, and things like that. So
authors, paranormal stuff.
Right.
I call it human sideshow. Anything that's interesting about Homo sapiens in any direction. And I think because of that, that's why on Two Chicks, Susan's more political and I bring up more like social issues.
Right.
Because I think that's a part of politics that we overlook.
It absolutely is.
Right.
That it's not just about, lobbying and bills and voting and who's running, but it's also about how all of those things are reflective of how the social personality of the country.
Yeah.
I think that's a much better way than saying it's politics for idiots.
Oh, I can.
it's the social ramifications of everything. How it all gets digested by us.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about our founding fathers because I grew up on the East Coast, as you know, in the Northeast, where I went to all those places as a kid. So I was kind of came out of the box a history nut. Mm. And Susan, because she was set tutor, didn't really get that same kind of thing. Uh-huh. So she discovered politics a few years ago and became obsessed with founding fathers. And as we were becoming friends, we sort of started talking about that. So the idea of the show is really that obviously we're never all going to believe the same thing, but how can we be different yet still be unified?
Yeah, just to be able to talk about it, right?
More of the country the founding fathers wanted and less of what it's kind of becoming, which is...
Yeah, and that's cool to do it on a radio show because, when you go on social media and everybody attacks you, everybody calls you names because people hide behind their... Even when they're not anonymous.
Isn't that true? People can be so cruel.
Right.
On YouTube, I've noticed particularly. I have that fitness YouTube channel. And
goodness. These trolls are just, they're just there to talk smack about anybody.
I know.
Right. Yeah. Anything.
Goodness.
And they'll admit it. They're just saying it to cause trouble, Some people are like that. And it's easier to do when you're behind the screen.
But what I found with social media, and that was another thing that inspired me to get busy with Sheena.
That's going to resonate throughout Facebook for a while.
If we really do talk and we're really communicating and listening, we'll find that it's our language that's more different than our real feelings, because most people are kind of basically the same, and unless you've got somebody that's just mainlining the Kool-Aid or the opposite end of the spectrum and just steadfastly holding on to their beliefs, you're going to find out that you don't disagree nearly as much as you thought you did.
Even our background, Susan was raised in a more politically conservative family.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in a more politically liberal family.
Right, and it kind of stays with you,
But I think not only have we both sort of taken a step in the other direction throughout our lives, but we also realize that we agree on more than we don't, even though there are a lot of ways where politically we're very, very different.
Right.
Well, it's kind of freaky. There was a study that came out that studied twins who were raised in two different types of households, and oddly they had the same type of political views.
Really?
Kind of hints at it being a bit genetic. Kind of crazy.
It is crazy, huh?
I was raised in, I say that I'm from the island of misfit voters, because my family, my parents were politically conservative. My mother and my grandmother in particular, oh, so Republican. Mm. We thought she'd turn into an elephant any day.
If only we could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do that.
I love elephants. But they were socially very liberal.
Really?
Yeah.
And that happens. That happens quite a bit, you know. So I know I was always like sort of like mixing things around and things like that. But I don't know, sort of like President Obama sort of like, or his presidency at least, kind of drove me into politics because it
Same
really
here.
Pisses me off.
Same
I know
here.
She may not agree, but you know.
No,
but
no,
that's
no, I
thing.
Do agree, actually. Yeah, yeah, I actually do agree.
I mean, I think 8 years of him was a little too much, you know.
Yeah.
But Susan, I never bring up the Brady Bunch or anything because it's like you hear a million times about it. Your whole friggin' life is full of Cindy Brady. But for those of you who don't know, I just wanted to bring it up so the rest of the world will know. We can't allow anybody not to know who Susan Olsen is.
It's in the LA Talk Radio handbook. That's one of the things you have to memorize. Please tell people about Susan Olsen.
Because Susan won't tell anyone.
Right, exactly. So we're not going to ask any Brady Bunch questions
okay.
at all. No,
I mean,
no.
I mean, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's not like I really care anymore, you know.
It's been a long time. Okay. It's not
been
like
a long
I do
time.
Either.
But you did have an unusual childhood, right?
Very unusual, yeah.
Like Sheena said, you were like, what, homeschooled or something?
Oh, no. I went to regular public school.
Oh, you did go to school.
Yeah, I got things thrown at me.
Wow.
You know, any embarrassing thing that happened. I was always grateful that the show aired on a Friday night. Mm. And because the kids would hopefully have the whole weekend to forget what stupid things Cindy did while possessing
my
body.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because I'd go to school and I'd get teased, but only by the kids that didn't know me.
Right.
And the kids that knew me
respected you more?
Well, yeah, and they'd
really?
Stick up for me.
Wow,
yeah.
How cool.
But you had a set tutor too, right?
When we were working, we went to school on the set. But I have to say, all of us, with the exception of Eve and Barry, went back to regular public school during the hiatus.
Mm.
So we try to get most of the filming done during the summertime.
Yeah.
But
so they try to give you as normal a childhood as possible.
Yes, especially on that set. I think that the creators and, I really think it came down to Sherwood Schwartz. He wanted to make sure, and his son Lloyd, wanted to make sure that we were regular kids.
Right.
So, you know, like the head of Paramount came to them and said, these kids are roller skating around the lot. They could break an arm. And I said, well, okay, well, if they break an arm, we'll write it into the script.
Right.
They have to be regular kids. And we all had fairly normal parents. And like I say, we went back to regular school. And it wasn't like we were paid a whole lot so we could think that we were any different.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
But they took it way too far, though, as well. You know, we weren't even allowed to drive on the lot the first season.
Really?
We had to pay for parking in the parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they didn't give us – they finally let us park on the lot, but they wouldn't give us our own – parking places.
Right.
And then they gave us our own parking places, but they wouldn't put our names on them.
Oh, God. God forbid, you know. What was the question I wanted to ask you? Well, you were talking about so was everybody like from L.A.?
Yes.
Yeah, the whole cast. All the kids,
Knight
right?
was born in New York, but he grew up.
I see, but he grew up
LA.
Here.
Yeah. San Fernando Valley for all of us.
Especially the Valley, right?
Except, yeah. Mike Lickenland lived in San Pedro, and Barry Williams lived in Pacific Palisades.
I see,
so
but it's all
the ocean
LA people, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, so you grew up as a child. I did want to ask you, because I think what happens is when you're young and you're unknown, they take advantage of you, right, with these contracts, because you're just desperate to get in.
I wouldn't say that we were desperate by any means, but it was before the days
young.
Of Gary Coleman and the Olsen twins and childhood empires. We were on the tail end of our gang, where those kids got maybe a free lunch.
Yeah.
So by the standards, everything was normal. But the way things were back then, was you got bought out. You did not get residuals for
really?
Reruns. Yeah. Yeah. So we only got residuals for the first 10 runs. So, you know, when we went into syndication, I think, you know, that was done in like 2 years.
Whoa.
So, no, we don't make any money off the show.
Yeah, that sucks.
And every chance that our lovely union has had to go to bat for us in mediums that were not covered by the original contract, like digital, pay cable, they have thrown us under the bus.
Oh, really?
And I wonder why I'm paying dues still.
Right? Well.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, well. So that's showbiz for you, folks.
So I'm not wealthy.
Yeah.
Buy my candy and my art.
I know. It sucks to be famous and not wealthy, right?
If it makes you feel any better to get political, I don't think unions are going to be around that much longer.
Yeah.
Union.
Yeah.
I think we are becoming a country where unions are.
Really? Because it seems
I think they're going to take over.
Yeah, it seems like moving to the left. I don't know.
No, because I think that the problem is that now, first of all, in the condition our country's been in, everybody wants work.
Mm-hmm.
And now with things like the internet that can't be controlled and people doing things independently.
It's so hard to regulate.
People would rather just take, not just in our business, but in a lot of businesses, people would rather just take a job.
Right.
Yeah.
Then wait for a union
that
job.
Makes sense.
And a lot of the union jobs that were factories, and they're all going away.
Well, you have to make a living. And,
yeah, people have to take what they have to take. Yeah. And so I think that it's becoming like the Wild West again, where people are just taking whatever job they can take. And I just think that unions are, you know, my friends that are so pro SAG-AFTRA probably kill me now, but I don't think that even SAG-AFTRA, how many actors now work outside the union?
Well, you know, I was going to say, I wonder why I'm paying my dues. I think I may just go AWOL because in the past decade, I have worked maybe one union job.
I get it.
Yeah. I know that. Well, you know, I mean, they started them when it was really necessary.
Yes,
they were a great
right
thing
everywhere.
When they
but it doesn't apply in these days anymore at all. You know, it just becomes like a monster. Yeah. So yeah. Now, so you mentioned your candy, right? Tell people about that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we're gearing up at actually Frank Schefftel, who also has a show here at LA Talk Radio on
just
Sunday.
Just about half of LA have shows here.
Yes. Yeah, go on. That's why it's called LA Talk Radio. Everybody has a show here.
Sorry, Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, and he runs a business, a place called The Candy Factory. And he's my manufacturer. And this started out as a gag gift, literally. it's a joke. It's candy that looks like, I make candy kitten crap and puppy poop.
And
it started because I was doing foster parenting for a rescue group. And I was taking care of, I was a bottle baby person. I fed the little unweaned kittens until they were big enough to be spayed and neutered and could get to their forever homes.
Yeah.
And I kind of went overboard on that. And so I'd have an average of about 12 kittens in the house at all times. I'd keep two litters going.
Really?
And, you know, it's hard to keep things clean.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd let them, because they had their own little nursery, and I'd let them downstairs when they were old enough, when they were potty trained, and, you know, they could play and learn how to socialize with humans and dogs. And, it just smelled.
And,
which is why I don't do this anymore. But,
good for you.
And I'm like, I've been cleaning the box and cleaning and cleaning. I pulled the couch away from the wall. Oh, here's the problem.
Oh, wow.
And it looked just like all these little tiny turds in a row. It looked just like the conveyor belt in that episode of I Love Lucy in the Candy Factory.
And I went, my gosh.
Hey, there's an idea. And Christmas was coming up, and I wanted to make gifts for our volunteers. So I'm a graphic artist. So I made a nice little label and pretty little box. And you know, just like a box of, say, See's candies, but inside each little paper cup is a lovely chocolate turd.
Oh, wow.
And
sounds appetizing, right, Kelsey?
Yeah. And Frank had the bright idea to, and I was extruding these with fudge from a pastry bag. And Frank said, why don't we make molds? so we can have different fillings.
Oh, okay.
And so I was a sculpting major at one time, and I know how to make
molds. Wow, she does everything.
I know. Yeah,
I wish I'd gotten into special effects. But anyway, I'm a mold maker, and so I've made all the molds. I lovingly crafted every turd. There are 16 designs.
Oh, wow.
16 type of
because it doesn't always come out the same.
That's true, huh?
Yeah, and I want it to look organic.
Right.
well.
But I'm sure the chocolate is good, right?
So the chocolate's very good. We're gearing up for Valentine's Day. We're actually making cherry cordial poops. And these are available at Rocket Fizz candy stores. So if you have a Rocket Fizz near you, go there. If they don't have my crap, call them on it. Say, hey,
yeah,
you got to get her stuff
in. Get Susan's crap in here.
Yeah, because it's a perfect gift for an animal lover.
That's true.
As I'm saying, I just designed our ad for Valentine's Day.
But what are you doing with the cherry cordials? Are they like kitties
it's like
got colon
stool.
Cancer?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
No, it's just... It's sweetheart poo. Yeah, and I designed a little ad saying, you know, everybody else gives ordinary flowers and candy. Do you want to be different?
I can think of some people that I dated that I'd like to send a
bunch. I was just going to say that.
Of bloody crap.
It's a sweet way to tell people to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Sheena, how do animals figure in your life, too? Do you have any animals?
I love animals.
Really?
I have a dog. At one point, before I started working at LA Talk Radio and decided to give my life to the station, I had a... four cats, a small dog, two rabbits, and a guinea pig.
Wow. Oh, my God. Where do you live?
You can probably see my house out the window.
That's what I want to know.
But at the time, I was in a relationship, so there was two people in the house, and I was working from home mostly. It's just too much now.
Too much.
So now I have a dog and a cat.
Okay.
And they're both very small, and they love each other. So much that they're like, oh, yeah, just come back when the food bowl's empty. We're just going to lay here and spend.
And how many do you have now, Susan?
I just have three cats.
Three cats.
Yeah. My dog passed away last year. Mm. And, you know, after having an average of 13 cats because I got into private rescue where you keep them until they're adopted, which... Wow. Yeah. it's just so nice to only have three and be able to give them the attention that they need and they deserve.
That's
and I
true.
Can't, you know, now I can't fathom how I used to sleep with eight cats in the bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But that's the problem with adopting animals is because everyone you see, you want to take care of, right? And then there's no end to it. So you end up with a dozen
of them. I was actually good at that, though. I was able to go into the shelter and... You know, you pick the ones that look the healthiest, that are going to have the best chances of getting adopted. And I was very zen about it. You know, love without attachment, you love them, and then you give them the gift of love that they can pass on to the humans that they adopt.
Yeah.
So I was good at being able to do that. It's just that when I started doing it privately...
Yeah.
You know, hey, I used to be able to take them back to the pound here. You know, I'd make little bows for them and kerchiefs and make them smell really good and teach them a little tap dancing routine. So they I'm kidding about tap dancing, but they get adopted right away.
Yeah.
And but, you know, when you do it through a rescue group, you keep them until they're adopted.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's
You're
going to
be stuck with a lot of them. Kelsey, what about you? Do you have any animals at all?
Not here in the city.
Yeah, you grew up on a ranch, right?
So I did.
Oh, my God.
So horses and everything.
Lots of horses and cows and everything you can think of.
Yeah.
No chickens. But here, I actually miss animals in the city.
Really?
I do.
So why don't you get a pet or something?
Yeah.
You probably don't have
nice
enough time
cat.
To take care of it, huh?
A cat doesn't need anything.
No, it doesn't need
cat would be fine. But I don't know. Just the responsibility might be lacking in my ability. Because my schedule's so erratic and I don't have... Yeah. You know, 9-to-5 or anything. So I'm always gone at different times of the day and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So you get two cats. cats.
There you go.
Exactly.
You see, she's got a solution. Yeah. My solution is no cats.
It may happen. It may happen.
Yeah. I mean, I love animals, but when there are other people's, you know,
sure.
I don't like the smell in the house.
That's how I feel about children.
I was just going to say that's exactly how I feel about
children. Children stink worse.
Yeah. I don't like the children's smell in the house. Nasty little friends come over. And there's more children.
And they turn on the TV.
And they go to that horrible place. What's it called? A school with even more nasty children.
Even more horrible Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then they're always watching Frozen, and you have to watch
and
that.
Singing the song.
Sing that horrible song, and the next thing you know, you're just ass deep in horrible small humans.
You're just not ready for kids yet. You will be. But no, kids are fun, you know. I mean, you know, even at my age, I wouldn't mind having another baby right now.
Oh, really?
Know? Yeah. Aww. Yeah. I mean, I love babies, you know, and aww, I love to see the kids grow, and I had such a great experience with my kids.
Yeah.
But now they're, like, older, you know. I miss the time when you're, like, their god, you know.
Right. You know, my friend Mark, he just had a baby at 63.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
By himself or with a woman?
With a woman.
Wow. Yes. Must have been someone pretty young. I mean, so he got like, wow.
I know. He 62, actually.
62, he got someone, what, in her 30s, 40s?
Well, actually, he had a surrogate.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And
gotcha.
Then got eggs from the egg bank. Whatever you call that, I'm not sure.
Okay.
And, you know. The
Oh, so it's not like he had a woman in his life or
no.
anything?
No.
Really?
It's like Build-A-Bear for people.
Yeah.
You go and you buy the eggs and then you buy an oven.
I know.
And then you donate some sperm and then they make it at the factory.
And then
it comes out with, you can put an outfit on it. It's just like Build-A-Bear.
I used to think there should be photo sperm bank. You know, we don't care if the child's very good looking. Oh, I mean, very smart. We want to be good looking.
Right.
In your grocer's freezer.
Yeah.
Oh, with a turkey baster.
Yeah. Should we get that home. Marie Callender's coconut cream pie or some sperm?
Yeah. Why not have both?
Exactly.
Wow. I used to think that when my son grew up, I would adopt a little girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like from another country or something. And you know what? Now that my son's 19, it's like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, you're done, huh?
Sure.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't want to go through that all that again.
Little girls you could adopt from this country. Now I'm being political.
Yeah.
I might someday.
Well, I was always thinking of adopting a little girl from China because they don't like little girls. You know,
that's true.
Yeah.
It's just in your heart to rescue people.
And also to honor their heritage.
Rescue everybody,
Oh, I used to think of how much I would enjoy like working with little, you know, rescue children when I was doing the kittens, because it's all about making them comfortable. I was like, you know, right. I could see like a little row of beds for little kids. It would break my heart, but...
Yeah.
That would be hard.
But it's still, it's the same thing. It's, you know, the nurturing and wanting to fill their little brains up with good memories.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Susan Olson and Sheena Metal, the hosts of Two Chicks Talking Politics. You can catch the show every Monday night at 7 right here on LA Talk Radio. That's 7 Pacific time, of course. And so do you guys want to talk a little politics?
Sure.
Whatever, you know.
Sure.
I mean, let's start with the obvious. Let's start with Donald Trump. Now, I mean, the guy is like... I'm just thinking of Monica Lewinsky now, thinking, oh no, I'm going to be back in the headlines.
Oh, she got
it.
Because he's dragging
it.
them in.
No, I think she'd kind of like it. Do you remember she tried to make a comeback a couple of years ago when she turned 50?
Right.
And everybody was like, yeah, we don't care about you anymore. Right. And I felt bad for her.
Right. Who do I have to...
Right, exactly.
Get anywhere in this town.
Right, I'll go get the dress and put it back on. Grab your cigar.
So I don't know, but it's going to be interesting because, and now what they're going to do is go into Donald Trump's personal life.
Oh, they
and
are.
See what they can dig out there.
Oh, goodness.
You know.
Well, you know, this is my problem with Donald Trump. He acts like he's in fourth grade.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're going to criticize Hillary for what her husband did, then maybe you want to look into what did she do to help cover up and to help put the pressure on these women, because there's some dirty stuff that happened to a lot of these women.
Yeah.
One of them found her cat's skull on the porch.
You're kidding.
And it's claimed, these women were forced into silence and intimidated. And it is claimed that Hillary kind of headed that program. Yeah. That would be something valid to talk about. Hillary's involvement in Resolution 1618 would be something to talk about. Yeah. Benghazi's something to talk about. And Trump pulls out, well, she was married to a guy that was, screwing everything. Sorry. And I can't believe that Trump doesn't have anything more adult to say. It's like he's in fourth grade.
But I don't think he does. And I think that Trump is one of those people who is covering up for the fact that he basically has no political knowledge.
Right.
By just throwing out these National Enquirer headlines.
Right.
And, go chase the blowjob and go chase... I'm not fired, am I? I just said that. go chase, go chase the, this guy's ugly and this one's stupid. And because he doesn't really have anything to say. And people have even brought it up at the debates that he does more name calling and promising than when he's asked about specific issues, he doesn't have a lot to say.
No, he really doesn't. He's so different from all of them when it comes to that. Now, I got to tell you, I read both his books. And he's got some good ideas, I mean, don't get me wrong. And I'm not talking about his extreme ideas. Back when he wrote the books, he wasn't talking about banning Muslims from the country and everything.
Or shutting down the internet.
Yeah. But at the same time, he's got some good ideas. And in the beginning, I thought, well, he's got a viable platform to run on. But he's crazy. I mean, he's nuts.
He's crazy.
He says things. He says things that you can't say if you want to be elected. I don't care if you don't answer to anybody. I don't care if you don't. If nobody pays, and you can say whatever you want and anything. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the only puzzle is this, and I think that's what really makes the liberals really shake in their pants, is that he's leading by so much.
I know.
But that could create problems for the Republicans.
Well, the scary thing is, there was a poll, and Trump is the second most popular person.
Yeah. Yeah,
second to the Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Obama is first, and then he and the Pope are number two.
Oh,
Trump and the Pope are number two, but Obama is
more popular than the Pope?
Yeah. That's what that study said.
Oh, is it just more well known?
Is that just in this country?
No, it's like a person that's well liked. Yeah, in
what?
This country. I'm telling you.
Oh, Bozo is well liked?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise to you. He got elected twice.
It's a big surprise to
me. If you go on social media.
But George Bush Jr. got elected twice and nobody liked him.
No.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true, too. But, but there was no love lost with Bush, whereas with Obama, there's a lot of people that love him, And you can see that on the social media, too. I know. They forget all the big things.
They're mainlining the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, they're like, it's $2 a gallon of gas. But that's not Obama's doing, That has nothing to do with him. And that's the thing. People associate things with, the president and stuff that have nothing to do with it.
Right.
But what about all the things we screwed up,
Yeah, like our foreign policy.
Foreign policy is totally screwed up.
We've changed sides on the war on terror. Why doesn't anybody notice that with Obama? Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, I think that presidential administrations are set up... Their PR is set up so that everything that happens in the country or the world, that president can either take credit for or run from if it's not convenient.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's what their job is.
Yeah. If one more of my gay friends says, but Obama saved us for gay marriage. No, a gay marriage was happening anyhow.
Right.
Yeah. It was happening in more and more states. It
was happening. Osama would have gotten killed.
It's like Reagan saying he brought the wall down in Berlin. No, he didn't. That was the ball. People were pulling bricks out of that wall one by one, and it just happened that it fell in his administration.
Right.
But that's just presidential politics.
Yeah, but he brought it about. I mean, we can't really
have the soundbite. Bring down this wall, but.
Right.
It actually happened after his administration.
It's time was coming, and I think to take credit for it is the same as Obama taking credit for gay marriage.
Right.
And no, but right, he can take credit for ISIS, as far as I'm concerned.
But that's you, Susan.
But you're right. With Osama bin Laden, I think any president would have gotten
same example,
that was started.
Right? Another example.
Yeah, exactly. Obama. So it's not like a big deal that he
and
did.
It wasn't a big deal when it happened. I mean, right. You know, the Islamic state as it was forming, then who cares? Right. He's old news.
And you have to watch out for tricky stuff, right? Like they say that Reagan's his people held the hostages until he was in office, so he could take credit for that. I mean, politics is tricky.
Yeah.
It's a big PR campaign.
Yeah. Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. And, you know, but with Obama, you know, what I thought, I mean, I didn't vote for him because at the time, I wanted Hillary to beat him in the primaries, but she didn't, and he won. And I didn't know much about him or anything, but I voted Republican at the time, so I didn't vote for him. But I was concerned because I felt, but I mean, I did feel hope. You know, they were talking about hope and change and everything, and I thought, here we finally have a black president. Maybe we can bridge the gap now. And I think we're as
made it worse.
Yeah, we're as galvanized as ever. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're totally polarized. This country is like it's like almost split in half. You know, almost all the polls are like 50-50 almost.
No, that's very intentional.
Yeah.
I think.
You think?
Oh, absolutely.
So you think
divide and conquer?
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. You know, I would have voted for him, and I was very happy. You know, I hadn't voted for a president for a long, long time. I think the last time I happily voted for a president was for Reagan.
Really?
Wow. You know, and that was way back when. And and I wasn't very political, and I didn't know that much about Obama. But I thought, you know what? Let's try this. This could be great. And I didn't get to the polls on time.
Doing
pitch meetings. Yeah. And so I didn't get to vote for him. But when he got elected, I cried. And
really?
I was so
happy.
And my son was fairly young. And he's like, Mommy, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing's wrong. This is great. I grew up with the Watts riots. And now we finally have a black president. And I didn't know it meant that much to me.
Right.
So I was like, yay. Oh, now I was thinking of all these African-American children sitting a little straighter in their school desks thinking, anything's possible now. I could have the most important job in the world. And then, I started to see how divisive he was. I'm like, dang it, this guy's a racist.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Michelle, and I like Michelle, I think she's one of the most poised first ladies we've ever had.
I agree.
But her early years, the way she's talking, racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what strikes me as totally bizarre? Is when people, just what we're discussing now, when people say, I expected Obama to bridge the gap for blacks, between blacks and whites, people say that is racist to say that. You know, because, you know, why would you expect a black president just because he's black, blah, blah, blah. But the point is because he's a representative.
Yes,
you know?
And it's, to me, it's more because I want, when I say I want equal rights for everybody, that means no special treatment.
Right.
So right. We were talking about that in affirmative action the other day.
Yeah. To me, having a black president just presented a normalcy.
Right.
Okay, yeah. A black man is the president. So what? A woman's the president. So what? I mean, cats and dogs come in different colors and they don't care.
And not just a black president, but our only president that wasn't a white Christian man.
Right.
So to me, he should have represented women and Jewish people and everybody who hadn't been present, all ethnicities.
Right.
But instead it became this very black-white thing.
He's actually only half black.
Right.
Right. He's just as white as he is black.
It didn't do
anything
to help the Latino community, the Asian community. It just made
the
things
Muslim communities benefit.
Polarized, and it just made things... Like, I agree that black lives matter, but I think all lives matter.
I agree.
Now, if you say all lives matter, somehow you're prejudiced against African-American people, which I certainly am not and never have been, and was raised in a household completely without prejudice. But it's not just that black lives matter. There are people getting abused by the police all the time. And I have my family, we're Irish. I got cops all over my family. Yeah. That not every police officer does something like that.
Exactly.
Well,
but the ones that do... are also beating up homosexual people. They're raping women. I mean,
they're beating up their wives.
A bad cop is a bad cop.
Exactly.
Not just targeting black people, but anybody who's not just like them.
Absolutely. That's the thing is that I got to tell you, in my life, and we have many white people and black people on the station. When I talk to people, I don't even notice or think about their color.
No.
You know what I'm saying, right?
I don't either.
At them as a person. But for some reason, many black people, that's all they think about is the race all the time. And I'm trying to figure out why. And I thought, well, maybe we can't judge because we're not in their shoes. Maybe they're faced with it all the time. So that's why they talk about it all the time, you know. But at the same time, I'm thinking there are so many great, successful black people that have risen above that and said, you know what, this is just keeping and holding me down. Instead of that, I'm just going to focus on myself and, you know, being a good person and a successful person. And there are so many.
And if my road is a little harder, it's still my road and I'm the one that has to walk it.
Yeah. You know, and I think everybody's in a minority in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it depends where you are and what it is you're comparing. But, you know, in essence, everybody.
I think whenever anyone allows excuses for their
like
own
being
shortcomings.
A victim or something.
Yeah.
The minute you make yourself a victim, you have taken away your own power.
That's true.
So true.
That I have to agree with. And I think so. I don't know at this point how we're going to bridge this gap, but we probably should not leave it to the politicians. We should probably, you know.
No, right. Because they're playing the gap.
Yeah, and you know, when you have divisive people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and stuff, they don't help.
No,
you know, I don't know
why
blacks always reach out to them to speak for them, but it's not. I don't think they're very good representatives.
No, they're horrible representatives, and I think that they bring shame to the black community.
Yeah, they thrive
because
on
they're
this.
So. I mean, Jesse Jackson is so stupid.
Yeah,
and I've posed this, you know, because I always like to be controversial on Facebook, you know, to my black friends. Why there are so many really intelligent, wonderful African American people? Why is Jesse Jackson at the helm of this? And most of my friends said, we don't like him either.
Yeah. I know.
It's the media that's made him big, and he's manipulated that, and people that aren't really paying attention might relate to him. But my African American friends who are actually thinking about things, they're very insulted by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you can't always just side with your own ethnicity.
Yeah.
I mean that just because somebody is the same gender, ethnicity, sexual preference as you doesn't mean that that makes them a good person.
Exactly.
And if we're all going to do that, then you can say the same thing about people, white people who've been prejudiced. Well, they didn't know. They just followed the other prejudiced white people. I mean, it's not an excuse. You have to at some point say, I want to decide what people and what candidates work for me, irregardless of whether we're go to the same church or we're the same color or we're the. It's just we criticize white men for doing that throughout history, yet we do the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's a collectivist way of thinking.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
it's, you know, that's negating the individual and individual responsibility, which I think is the core of what's wrong.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. I don't think many people take responsibility. You're right, you know, and then they blame everybody else, and you get a victim society, you know. And I'm just thinking how life is different now. I don't know, lately I've been getting into World War II stuff, so I'm like reading books, watching movies, all that. I don't know why. My dad's always been into it because he grew up during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was always fascinated by World War II, but I don't know why suddenly I just picked up a book and I'm like totally into it. So I'm just thinking,
you know, it's
like
a path.
Yeah.
It is. It has to be. Whenever that happens, follow
really?
It.
Yeah, yes. I do. And sometimes I wonder, wow, it took me 55 years to finally face this topic. But I do, you know, and that's the great thing about life is that things never get old. There's always something new all the time, you know.
Well, and don't you find that when you have an inspiration like that, next thing you know, this is why I was studying that, because it applies, you know, I've learned something that applies right now.
Like your chocolate poop.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'd say my obsession with the Quran and Hadith and studying Islam has become...
That's interesting to me, actually, as well.
And I totally recommend, if people want to understand how Islam is the problem, read Glenn Beck's book. It's called It Is About Islam. And and he quotes things from the Quran and things that really that make us afraid, you know. And it's not just about fear-mongering. It's about understanding who we're dealing with.
Yeah, and if you have a knee-jerk reaction to Glenn Beck, which a lot of people do, and it's unfair, anything by Robert Spencer, it's also an easy read. Robert, or get a little taste of it. Go to YouTube, go on any of Robert Spencer's lectures. Mm. He's funny, he's playful, and if you really want to get into what's going on politically with all of this, Stephen Coughlin, who I want to get on our show, but he doesn't come on Facebook anymore. He's written a book called Catastrophic Failure, and he used to do briefings for the Pentagon about Islam, and political Islam, which he calls it. And he was asked to leave.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
As were many other educators. And there's a list of words that cannot be used anymore. Islam is one of them. Caliphate, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Really?
Wow. People that he worked with, they were called the red pill briefings, because once you learned about what was going on, you couldn't unlearn it.
Yeah, you couldn't
and
go back.
And his colleagues said, you have to write a book because we're afraid you're going to be killed.
Really?
So Catastrophic Failure. It's probably I just got it, and it'll be a bit dry, but it's what's going on in the political end of things.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting.
I mean, there's a I must have read in the past year about 5 books on ISIS and stuff. So to me, there's a lot of questions about how we got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But, or questions to our leadership, why we're at this point now.
Oh, yeah.
But going back to that World War II thing, I just wanted to bring up how life is so different. You know, I mean, people were being bombed every night in London.
Yeah.
But that's just a small part of it. You know, what about, all the battles? I mean, thousands and thousands of people died, and you read about it. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, Hitler sent 200,000 troops over here, 20,000 died on the Allied part, this many died. And you go, my God, I mean, they're counting them by the tens of thousands, but each one is a life.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Parents that had to get that horrible knock on the door.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, on both sides, the Germans and the Allies. But that's what it is, you know. I mean, war, and it's like you calculate, okay, we're going to make this attack. We're going to probably lose 1,000 troops or something. And it's like so easily to just say, okay, we'll lose 1,000 troops.
Well,
you know?
Vietnam, right? I mean, it just, every night they'd announce how many died, and then they just kept sending them over there and sending them over there, and it just never ended.
Yeah, it was like a black hole there, you know.
Yeah.
And but that's still, a scar that's always going to stay with Americans, you know, because we lost so many people. I mean, 50,000 soldiers, that's a lot of people.
And gained nothing from it.
No. What the hell did we gain?
I mean, at least I think with World War II, we felt like we were fighting evil.
Right.
There was a reason.
And we won.
But it took a long time to drag us in there, you know?
Sure.
I mean, the thing is, we provided weapons and everything, but Congress was totally against joining the war.
Yeah.
And, so finally they were providing everything else, supplies and all that stuff except troops. And then the whole thing with Japan. Mm-hmm. And we were drawn in.
Yeah.
You know? But... if it weren't for the United States and the resilience of Britain, the world would look so much different after that war.
I think
I mean, he was going in, Hitler was going into countries and taking them over, some of them without shooting, without a single shot.
Oh, yeah. People just laid down.
You know, they laid down.
Yeah.
They lay down.
Yep.
And,
but not the Celts, man. I tell you, the English fought back.
Nor the Norwegians. We double-crossed him.
Yeah.
Good.
We double-crossed. Well, actually, they did. I mean, it's like a whole complicated thing there. But
don't you think in in a way, that's what the world needs, Sam. The world needs another real clear.
Don't talk about
Islam yet. I was about to say, clear cut enemy.
You knew that was coming.
I know, honey. Every week.
Couldn't be clearer.
And sometimes off the air. That we could band together against and really get the definition of good and bad again. I think people are very black and white. We need good and evil. That's true. We don't know one person's good now is another person's evil, and we're very confused.
Right.
Not that we should have another world war, God forbid, but we need a clear
cut. Guys, we got to wrap up. I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off, Susan.
No, but that
means you guys will have to come back.
Absolutely.
Again.
Yes.
There's just so much to talk about, you know, and there's so much fun. But finally, just promote your stuff real quick. Sheena?
I'm online everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Sheena Metal Experience is my daily show.com, SheenaMetal.com. We're at TwoChicksPolitics.com. Susan?
Yes, and our show is 7 o'clock Pacific time, Monday nights, Two Chicks Talking Politics, Channel 2 right here. And I'm at SusanOlson.net and on Facebook.
Great. And go out and get her poop.
Her
chocolate poop or cat crap.
It's perfect for Valentine's Day, guys.
Sam needs to voice your commercial.
It sounds good with the accent.
Yes, it does.
All right, folks. Thank you all for joining us. Have a happy new year, everybody.
Happy new year.
Yes.
And we're going to have a great year, I know, like we always say, right?
Yes,
and then we end up with ISIS by the end of the year. But at any rate, let's hope for just good things, folks. Thanks for joining us this year. And we'll see you after the weekend.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.